teach in after high school. I am a professor at Touro. So I'd like to speak today about his topic, so you know, a little continuity, that was motivating our children to motivate themselves. There was a great quote in what we just had our graduation. We had a great quote in one of the yearbook quotes from one of the guys. Sum up your senior year in one quote. So you have the usual. One boy wrote, "I got into college and I stopped caring." I'm sure you might be familiar with that. You whether sons, daughters, yourselves. "I got into college and I stopped caring." And it was true. He was a great boy. Everything was great. He got into a great college. And now, you know, he got into college even early. Like, you know, November, December, he was done. Let's use him as a paradigm. What can we do? What would you do? As an educator, as a parent, what would you do for such a student? It's a tough thing. Also, we had another girl, an eighth grader. And very smart, took the Regents in eighth grade, everything great. And just doesn't want to do anything more than she has to do. She only wants to do what she has to do. Not a step more. And you want to motivate her. You want to get her to do something. How do you do that? Okay, and, you know, ourselves. Myself, right? Let's say you go to the Daf Yomi, you learn what you have to learn. Now you're sitting home, it's 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night. How do you motivate yourself to do more? So the question of motivating is always a question of pushing oneself, and I want to describe the word. But I'm happy that this speech is happening on the first day of Parshas Chukas. Parshas Chukas has one of the problematic stories. Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of talking to the rock, hits the rock. Okay? For that, Hashem says, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. You didn't sanctify my name. It's mamish the worst thing. Is it really so bad? What happened that when he hit the rock and not speak to him, that it was like such it was mamish, you didn't have Kiddush Hashem. So there are many explanations. All the Rishonim there are, I try to explain what exactly happened here. It's very difficult to understand. And so I heard Pshat once, I saw it. At the end of Klal Yisrael's sojourn in the desert, they're about to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael, they're going to lose the outward miracles. They're going to, like we learned about the Meraglim, they're going to live in Eretz Yisrael the way you're supposed to live, Beteva, work the land. Moshe Rabbeinu, there was one last lesson. And that was motivation. You could force someone to do something. You could hit him with a stick. And then they'll do it. Everyone out there, if you hit them hard enough and you push them in the right way and you make them do it, they'll do it. But when you speak to the rock, and then even the rock decides to do it, when you speak to the rock and then the rock gives water, it's as if the rock decided on its own. It was motivated. It wasn't forced. The lesson that was meant to be imparted was, even the rock can be motivated. Anyone can be forced. And the lesson that was meant, that was necessary for Klal Yisrael and Moshe to give over was, it's time that everyone, even a rock, understand, and I do something. And that, unfortunately, what was supposed to be given over and wasn't given over. So let's ask ourselves, what does it mean to motivate? The word motive means a drive, the English definition. When we give someone else a drive, it's not that we're giving something that, like, I want something. Let's say I have four daughters. I want them to excel. So they might not have that drive. So motivating our children to motivate themselves doesn't mean that I figure out a way that they see the world like me. It's that I want them to see the world with a cause, with a purpose. Let me explain with Ramban. It's a famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. The end of Parshas Bo talks about why we wear tefillin. Now you all know, well, you might not all know, tefillin, right, you've seen, goes on our head, right here. And you know where it starts at your hairline, or where your hairline used to be, and goes further back, right? You know what the tefillin sits on top of? Anyone know? Sorry? Yes, that's true. And it also sits atop of your hole in your head. When we were born, right, our skull was not yet formed, and right, and that's why these little babies, once in a while, you can see their pulse right here. And if you, and that's a good thing. The worst thing, if a baby ever needs a little IV, sometimes they'll do it here, right? Because there's a pulse here. That's your home. That's where your tefillin goes. The Ramban says an unbelievable thing. I'm going to quote, if you don't mind. Ulezikaron b'neinecha. It should be a remembrance between your eyes. Shiyunchu b'makom hazikaron. You should place the tefillin on the place of remembrance. Shehu reishis hamoach. That is the beginning of your moach. What does he mean, the beginning of the moach? Why is the tefillin, and it says, V'hu tchilas hazikaron u'mam enatzuras. That is the beginning of remembrance. The Ramban is saying that the concept of tefillin every day, the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, this is at the end of Parshas Bo. Parshas Bo, the mitzvos that we were given, and how we should place Yetzias Mitzrayim, is that every day, you have to give yourself a reishis hamoach. Every day, you have to understand that you need to recalibrate your center point. You have to recalibrate what is the central focus of your life. Now, how many of you, right? We have a mitzvah every day. Everyone has a mitzvah to remember Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. We don't need the tefillin for that, right? We say Shema, you don't need the tefillin to have a mitzvah Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the tefillin? It's that you put it on your head, you put it on your brain, and now that is your first thought. That is, you don't think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, that is your center point in life. So the question always is, we always ask, what is the center point of our lives? What are we motivated? Now, we think motivated in a secondary step. We think motivated as our desires, as our what motivates us. So the problem with that is, you know, Biruchim Lubavitz, the Mashgiach of the Mir, said that the problem with motivation is you always go from one thing to another. Let's say I myself, and you know, the whole world, right? I need to diet. So, right, I like eating. I like chocolate danishes. Wonderful. Okay? If I see a chocolate danish, I can't say no. So now I want to motivate myself to diet. So I'm going to motivate myself with another taivo or another motive. Let's say I want to fit into my clothing. I want to look good, etc., etc., etc. And everything that we do, let's say back to our students, right? You want to motivate them to do well. So what do you say? You get into a good college. Or you'll get into a good yeshiva, whatever. Again, you're motivating with another human desire. You're what we call a taiva, with another, you just went from one problem to another. Because when you deal with on the levels of desires, it's not something that comes from our mind. It comes from our guf. It comes from our who we are. The message of tefillin is that what motivates us, what has to be our center point, is something our seichel. It's very interesting. So, you know, when Rabbi Open asked me to speak about this topic, I was like, what's there to say? It's already in Mesil Sisharim. Right? If you take a look at Mesil Sisharim, Mesil Sisharim starts off with, besides the introduction, then he starts off chapter 1. Yisod HaChassidus, Rishor HaShavoda, the foundation of everything is to know, Yisbar, Yisames, you should make clear to yourself, what is your mach avaso ba'olama? What is your obligation in this world? Okay, and he says there's three levels. Fine, and then he says you have to be clear what your obligation in this world is. But that's general. Then he goes into the first thing, zehirus, being careful, meaning making sure that everything you do is correct. And he says in chapter 4, he says there are three ha'aros, three ways to inspire. We'll use the word inspire. One is for those people who want shlemus, people who want to have completion of themselves. The next one is olam haba, and then schar va'onish, depending on your level. So I asked Rabbi Open, why am I speaking about this? It's all printed. It's a wonderful book, Mesillas Yesharim, one of the greatest Sfarim. What do you need someone to get up and say? Everyone should look, depending on who they are, read the Sefer, and you're good. And the answer is, the Mesillas Yesharim is talking about someone who knows what their center point is, who knows which aspect of Judaism motivates them. And the question is, okay, now I need to work on that, to build that. So let's, for example, Schar V'Onesh. Everyone here knows Schar V'Onesh. Everyone believes in Schar V'Onesh. There is no question that everyone in this room is 100% a ma'amin, a believer in Schar V'Onesh. But is it a center point? Is it something that is your Reishis HaMoach? Is it something that when it's subconsciously there? I have a rabbi, his name is Rabbi Reuven Leuchter in Israel, and he made a very scary observation. It's a very scary observation. The observation goes like this. Where in your house do you place your magnets? Your fridge. Why in your fridge? What? Why your fridge? You know why? Because that's the center point in your house. It's like a subtle thing. And everyone knows it, right? There's no, it's your bookshelf, your Sfarim Shrank is not magnetized, right? It's just not. Where your toys are, your fridge. Because our center point, you don't think, not that you think about food all day, you don't. But where do you always go back to? Where do you always found? Where do you always, your fridge. And that shows you where your center point is. So the Mesillas Yesharim is of course correct. Everyone here wants Shleimus, to be a complete person. Everyone here wants Olam Haba. Everyone here believes in Schar V'Onesh and knows it for a fact. But what's for lunch? Right? And right, my thought even coming here today is, I wonder what they're serving. Right? Because that's, again, I didn't eat. I can't eat before I speak. I get nervous. And after I eat, it's a little not proper in public. I'm not going to eat. My thought was, I wonder what they're serving. That means it's a center point. And that's what motivating is. Motivating is creating in someone else a center point. It's a very difficult thing, to the point that the mitzvah of tefillin is meant to create that every day because it's hard. Because we are, as we all know, we, whoever we are, how we were raised, how we were created, we have a center point. Whether it's our bad midos, our good midos, all midos, whether it's good or bad. But we don't have in the our seichel. We don't have our thought processes. Something like schar v'onesh. Where's schar v'onesh there? Now and I'll say better. Most people who do are not. You know, it's not a healthy thing. Sometimes people who are always worried about what their olam haba is going to look like or what's the gehenna going to look like. It's a very scary thing. Now the truth is, I left out half the story. Why do I say that? I just don't want to run over it, and the glare is getting to me. Oh, sorry. I'm going to move to the side here just to get a better look. The Rambam in Pirusha Mishnayis, says in, when it comes to educating, we educate with Shelo Lishma. The famous Rambam in the 10th Perek of Sanhedrin, where he speaks about the Yud Gimel Ikrim, he starts off with a whole treatise about educating. And using it as a mashal, why Chazal sometimes said things that might have been misunderstood. So one of the things he says is that the way you educate based on incentives. You educate Shlo Lishma. He goes four levels. When you're a child, it's sweets. Then it's nice clothing. Then it's honor, etc., etc. And that is how you educate. So in theory, this whole speech is not necessary. Totally, right? You know how you want to motivate? You want to motivate our children. You want to make our students, ourselves. Rewards, right? We work that way. Great. There's a problem. Today, it less and less works. That's my personal observation. From my own children, from teaching in high school, teaching in college, you have people who are motivated. There are some people, for example, that's what I started with. He wanted to get into a good college. I don't know why he wanted it. Maybe his parents drilled it into him. Maybe he has a dream of being a billionaire. Maybe he wants to be cool and go to Harvard. I don't know. Whatever it is. I don't think he went to Harvard. Right? So now, in a way, it's gone. He got into college. Now what? He never worked on a skill that he can take it forward. He can, okay, now what do I do? So he wasted 6 months of high school, and whether you think that's wasted or not, he wasted his time because there was nothing pushing him. Every one of us, when we want to do something, we have competing desires. So Shelo Lishma is only good as far as desires are competing, but you only went from one problem to another. So I would like to suggest something in the few minutes that we have left. Oh, wait a second. When do we end? Sorry, I thought it was 11:50. It's 11:50, right? I have more time than I thought. Okay, even better. Sorry. I got thrown off. Good, so I have more time. There's another reason why it doesn't work. I didn't want to go into it, but now that I have more time, and that is for some reason, the younger generation, if you want to say it to the kid, have this thing called hypocrisy, or intellectually dishonest, however you want to say it. And that is, okay, let's say you go to, I don't have boys, but you go to your son or your students, right? I go to them, and YU has a wonderful program for high school students. They have a Bekiyas program where they give money for Sfarim, they're not straight out money. So you learn something on the side. This year was Moed Katan. So they give on the side, you learn extra, whether a daf a week or an amud a week, and then you can earn if you pass the tests. So I try to implement it. Here we have, right? I'm not motivating. I'm clearly giving you a reward. Rabbi, I don't feel right. I don't want to feel right. Because I don't want to learn for the reward. I want to learn Lishma. I said, but you're not learning. You're wasting your time. You just admitted. Yeah, but it doesn't feel right. And you find that all the time that because we think we're seichel driven, we think that we're going to be based on our, we only do what we believe is right, we've in a way denigrated reward. We've in a way denigrated motivation from Shelo Lishma, like the Rambam says. So we have a problem. We really have a problem. How to get someone else to have a center point that I see is true. Now again, let's not make the mistake, right? My oldest is going to high school next year. So I'm thinking, okay, I have goals for her. I have what I want. So I could have made the speech of how to motivate her to think like me. That's not fair. Why should she think like me? I have to motivate her. I want her to get into a good college, let's say. I want her to get into a good seminary. I want her to be on a certain track in life. So I'd have to think, okay, how do I convince her that I'm right? That's not a good idea. It's not a good idea. What I want is, I want her to, when she wakes up in the morning, not to look at her phone, right? We don't let her have the phone, hopefully, in her room, right? But think of, okay, what's important? So, it's a very interesting thing. I'm going back to the yearbook a second. I started off with the yearbook quote from my student who said, I got to college, then it stopped caring. I look every year what this yearbook says about me. Now, I don't have a self-esteem problem. I don't really care how they view me. But I want to know what lesson they got. For example, this year, my quote was, say it better. That means a guy would say something, I'd ask a question in shiur, someone would give an answer, and I'd say it better. Right? How many of you had rebbeim who were that annoying? Right? You all remember that guy? Like, it's good, but say better. Right? And I didn't even realize that I did that every day. I didn't realize it. But they realized it. And for one or two guys, it became a center point. That means what to me was obvious. You have to think. You just answered and you didn't think. Now, you said something good, think of what you said. To be the center point, you have to think. And you have to think twice. And you have to think deeper. That to me is an obvious thing. And it created in someone else a center point. It created someone else a ratio, something like that. You have to think before you say, wait a second, how can I say it better? Now that's a silly thing. I don't know if it's a mitzvah, it's an aveir, I don't know what it is. But it's a value that was obvious to me. I didn't try to part it. I didn't get up every day and say, listen, we have to think twice. No, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. But the way you create a center point is when you have a relationship with someone, a student, a child, yourself, you create that's just how you do things. This happens every year. And I don't even know what it's going to be every year. One year it was silly thing. One year, I always say, besides I work here in Haftar, I work in the city in Touro, 23rd Street, I teach. And we're, you know, walking in the summer in New York, sometimes it's challenging. You know, I try to take another railroad, it's a little bit of a mess. And from we're on 23rd Street between 5th and 6th, and I take the railroad and I have to walk about 10, 9 blocks, you know, one or a few avenues. So I always tell the guys, I said, think about how you're walking in the street in the summer. And they always say, I have no idea. I don't have any answers. My game when I walk in the city is I walk behind some other guy. I pick one guy. I walk behind him as much as I can. And I say, I watch him. And do you know how people walk in the city or men walk in the city in the summer? That's how they walk. So I always said to them, can you have a game that your head could just stay straight? Watch the guy in front of you. Pick a guy and laugh at him. That he can't keep his head straight. I get nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with anything. Just how much of a person are you that you don't have to turn your head right and left? I was only making jokes that every hallway has an exit sign. That's by law, right? The hallway. I said, can you walk down a hallway and stare at the exit sign the whole time and not move your head right and left? A game. I thought it was just for the fun of it. To that became an unbelievable starting point, exit signs. Always stare at exit signs. Because it's teaching, so it was a lesson that we are stronger than our body that we have to move right and left. So again, it wasn't a religious point. And obviously it's based on a religious point, but it was a point of that we're stronger than our bodies. We're stronger than our desires. That's a center point. It's an unbelievable thing if you're able to do it. You know, the Socrates, was his claim to fame was that he got people to think. That's why they killed him, or they made him kill himself. Right? The Altar of Kalm was a big fan. He quotes Socrates a few times. He says the reason they're called Talmidei Chachamim and not Chachamim is because they're always learning, they're always thinking. That is, in a way, I don't want to take exactly I want people to think. I want people to have a beginning of thinking. Not that I can't get anyone to think. Today's day and age, if you can get someone else to think, you really deserve to be, standing in front of the whole Tzibur, in front of everyone. But if you can get someone that you can influence how they begin to think, when they begin to think, you can't make them think, but when they begin to think, you can influence them how they think and what is important, and that you gave over to them that something, there's a center point that they might not have had, then you've motivated them. Again, we're not forcing anyone, we're not hitting the rock. We're not pushing them. We're not motivating them that they're going to go ahead and do something. We're motivating that there's a center point. And, I told this guy, and let's end off with what I started with, that I said, what could we have done? What, you give me advice, right? It's November. You got into your college early decision. You're now going to be in high school. You know, December, January, February, March, April, May. How would I have gotten to you? So he said, you should have sent me to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, the school doesn't allow. What can I do? Right? Everyone should go. All seniors should leave to Eretz Yisrael already in January. We all know that, but it doesn't work. What should we do? And he said, "Why didn't you bother me more to learn? Why didn't you ask me more and more to learn?" So it's a good criticism. You know, we're all busy. We're all we have time. We're teaching. We're here or there. But the point wasn't at the time. It was I didn't see from you me. I didn't see from you that learning was so important for me that you're willing to give up your time, that you were pushing me at every second. That I missed that educational point to show him that irrelevant of everything else, learning is important. I missed that. And that, again, he wasn't saying, why did you learn with me? Is that why didn't you give that lesson over? So I believe, what do I know? I believe that that's the concept of motivation. I don't know if it works, but the Rambam says an unbelievable thing. The Rambam says, back to our tefillin, that when you have tefillin on your head, you think differently. He doesn't say you're able to think differently. You think differently. What does that mean? So obviously tefillin has a skula, it's a mitzvah, and you put it on, you have the parshios of Yetzias Yisrael by your head. So you obviously, that is now your thought process. We, in a way, if we want to create by ourselves and by others, it is our actions. Putting on tefillin is the Torah-mandated one. But the actions you do help create a center point. If you decide a certain thing based on what you want to do, what the concept you want. I wanted to make davening a center point. But davening itself is an action. So I had to think, okay, what part of davening do I want to make a center point? Why do I daven? I'm in a shul now, but why do we daven? I know we're supposed to. But why do we daven? Sorry? True, that's one thing. What, they don't have to say the words. I can just sit and learn Musar. So to me, it was very important to realize I'm talking to someone. The Seil Shorim says that the concept of tefillah is a masa umatan, a give and take. Now, I understand. I've been davening for quite a number of years. I've never had a response, at least that I've heard. But that is davening. So I started davening out loud. Out loud. And in a conversational tone. Ata gibor lo'olam Hashem. B'chayim meisim ata. Rav leishia. B'chal kachayim b'chesed. B'chayim meisim b'rachim rabim. Yisomech novlim, rofei cholim. Like, find the patterns. And I want you to know, someone donated to our school, the Rabbi Sack Sitter. I haven't gone through everything, but if you take a look at Rabbi Sachs's new sitter, I'm sure you've seen it. He tries visually to impart that. It's very interesting. How many times we all daven shacharis? How many times do you say the word emes after Shema? Well, I'm not crazy to anyone. Does anybody know? We all know one, right? Emes, right? How many other times do you say it? Okay, I'm not crazy. Four other times. In Ezras, there are four statements with emes. Our normal sidurim, you know what they have? One big paragraph from Ezras, right, till Hashemim Malachim Ved, whatever. But in Rabbi Sack's sitter, he breaks it down. And I thought that one piece was worth the whole sitter, because he showed you that if you're having a conversation, you're saying emes, emes. Four times. It's a conversation. So I did this. I wanted to work on myself to make a center point that I'm talking to someone. Not the davening. So I did an action. One of the guys said to me, and said, it's the first time he realized, he got it. I don't know how to say after the Shabbaya, that davening is, you're talking to someone. And that's how it is. When you have a center point, and your actions bring out that center point, it'll be obvious to others. So I don't have the panacea of how to motivate others. My answer and my suggestion is that when we create for ourselves a center point, which it doesn't, you know, I'm only speaking for 35 minutes, 40 minutes. I wish I had, you know, we could speak for hours on this topic. How to create that, but once you have an action, when you realize what it is, and you do actions, it will be obvious to others. And in the negative, the same thing is true. Whether we all have the same problem of being too much on our phones or whatever we're doing, we give off what our center point is. So I think that if we want to motivate others or motivate ourselves, it's not a question of bringing out another desire. It's figuring out what is my center point from the what is the racious hamoach, what is the part of me that I identify with something, how my actions are based on that, and hopefully that will go over. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
in Israeli.